baby, you get it. Yeah, yeah, baby, you get it. Come around, see the lies, get addicted, get addicted. She got a mission and a shitload of ambition. Stay consistent.
That was Risk It All by GQ Capone, and you're listening to Yuppie Noir.
And we are back with another episode of the Yuppie Noir Podcast. This is Grizzy Mac.
Young Dwizzy.
And we are the Yuppie Noir Podcast, the podcast for young urban professionals. I was actually just over the weekend putting together a little playlist of oldies for my Sunday cleaning up.
Talk to
and I bumped across this song by Donny Hathaway called Young, Gifted, and Black. And I was like, that's, you know, I get the feels, you know, I feel a similar way. But again, this is a podcast for young urban professionals who are climbing the corporate ladder, trying to navigate and make their way to success. Dwizzy, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling safe, you know, and then
no fever, no shortness of breath,
nothing,
no cough,
not a thing, you know, knock on wood, you know, don't jinx anything, but with this, you know, everything's going around, you know, just trying to stay safe. Give people the elbow for dap now.
I thought he was joking. He's not joking, people. He really gave me the elbow.
I don't like that.
I ain't, you know what I mean? We ain't doing the hands no more. Foot, you can dap up with the foot, elbows.
That's weak. That's weak dap. You know, you still got to come in with the strong dap. If your immune system's strong, dap should be strong, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, then y'all can dap. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Again, I'm just taking precautions. You could be ND, right? But as of right now, if I do have a weak immune system, I don't want to hurt it by, you know, touching dudes that be getting hacked and apparently going up soft in these N1s and these pickup games. Hey,
they can't guard me, so they got to foul me. That's all. That's it. That's
I need to see footage because without footage,
you've been there for my greatest moments. Dwizzy, you've been there. Don't act. Come on, man.
I know what you can do.
You know what I did when I turned it on in the fourth quarter to let us to that little chippy chip. Man.
Which one?
The one at the Osprey College. What's the college in South Jersey? Was that?
Rowan?
No, it wasn't in Rowan. Don't worry about it. This is
Mammoth.
No, it was another one. It was that tournament. It was the intramural tournament.
Stockton.
Yeah, there you go. I'm gonna hit a few tray balls. It's okay.
Well,
it's fine.
Well, let's talk about that.
Oh, please. Please do.
Kyla was, you know, wasn't performing at this current moment.
It's not about how you start. It's about how
coach
you finish.
Was, you know, he had some family there, so he was trying to wild out at first.
I was chilling.
Yeah, slow start. So. I swear, he must have saw that. They was like, yo, go get Kyla. So I was at the score sheet about to check in. He looked, and he said, oh, nah. So you know, like, that next three plays, got the ball and pulled, hit the three. I was like, okay, whatever, that's the one, whatever. I still won't take him out. Next play after that, hit another three. So now I'm looking back at, like, our coach, not coach, but, like, I'm like, yo, do I still take him out? And next thing you know, again, I turn back around again, he hit the third one. I'm like, all right, well, three straight threes, 9 points. He had a single hand run on himself. I was like, all right, whatever. Came back out, sat back down next to the coach.
Got hot.
Out at the right time, and he wowed. He did his thing, and he helped spark the blowout fashion win in that championship game. Though he definitely did his thing. But
thank you.
I take credit in that because again, I was about to sub in for him. And I think he saw it, and he was like, you know what, nah, you wild. Yeah, you're not going to take me out in front of fam.
I'm not waiting for dudes to give me their flowers, man. I'm taking them.
Yeah,
I'm taking my flowers.
He's like, not in front of my family. In front of my fam, you going to take me out?
Come on, I got to take my flowers.
You know he be repping South Jersey when he was in South Jersey. That's so,
Philly.
You know.
Philly until I die, man.
Philly, South Jersey, interchangeable, you know. But, yeah, he did his thing. He wild. But, yeah, he that was like, you talking 5 years ago. So, I mean. I haven't seen you in the court for now. It's been a couple months.
You know why you haven't seen me there? Because you won't be there. That's why. But we're not going to talk about that. It's fine. Anyway, how was your weekend?
You just asked that. Oh, did you? Did you not?
No, I didn't. Come on, keep up.
We can chill again. What did I do this weekend? Nothing. I chilled out again, you know, staying indoors. No, I did kind of go for a walk. Sunday was pretty nice.
Yes.
Sunday was pretty nice. I went for a walk. Monday was amazing, but I was at work. Saturday, I did go chill with some family. I watched the Duke game. Shout out to Duke. Devils. You know, played the UNCs, but whatever. They're not the same team this year. It doesn't even feel like a rivalry anymore.
It feels like an ass whooping.
Yeah.
I lost that spark, huh?
Yeah, it's not even there. Like, I know last year they beat us, you know, the regular season. They got the sweep. And then ACC tournament. What were
Quiet.
They? very quiet, right? Yeah. But whatever. Friday,
we had a little game night.
Game night Friday, yes, we did.
It was cool. That was pretty good. A fun game. What's it called? Something Quiplash. Box. Oh, Quiplash, yes.
That game was amazing. It's a game, if you haven't played it, you download it like off your like Xbox or you can do Apple Store or to your PS4 or 5 or 4 because 5 is not out yet. And it connects to like an online services where now every person use their smart device and go to this website. And what they do is they ask you a couple of questions and you answer it hilariously or however you want to answer it. And then after everybody answers these questions, those questions get put up and your answer gets put up against one another. And whoever has like the funniest response, yeah, vote on it, win points.
It was good. It was a nice camaraderie builder. You know, some people had some heated exchanges. It depends on how you want to play. Some people, you can play with vulgar language. You might be able to play in a family-friendly type of fashion. Yeah. I think we opted for the vulgar.
I don't think we opted. It just kind of happened. Yeah. I wasn't a part of that, but it is what it was at that point. The whole everybody there was on board with the throwing a vulgarity and private parts that should have been thrown out, but was thrown out there.
Just, why do people like doing that?
That's weird, yo. That's just, come on, man.
The spotlight's on.
What I'm saying, grow up.
Yeah. Sometimes immaturity, I guess people find it funny. I don't know. But it was a good game. That was a fun time had by all. And then Saturday night, I think we watched some of the MMA fights. Yeah, the women's main event was really good. Zhang Weili. And I forget the other woman's name, but she was awesome. They both put on a hell of a show.
Better than the main event.
Lots of punches thrown, lots of strikes thrown. But the Zhang Weili's opponent got punched in the forehead and it swelled up so bad it looked like Jimmy Neutron. It was a brain blast for sure. But she held her own. It was a great fight. Zhang Weili eventually came out victorious. And then the main event that I was looking forward to, Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero. A lot of standing, a lot of dancing. They didn't put on quite the show that the women had put on, but at the end of the day, the guy that I was supporting, Israel Adesanya, got the victory, so I was happy about that. But that was a nice little, and then Sunday, just a chill day, recovering, because I had gone out, I think, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so I just needed Sunday to recoup and then sort of hit the ground running on Monday. But you know, all things considered, I would say pretty solid weekend.
How about you, AJ?
I was good, bro. It was a good weekend. I was in Philly on Friday. I just chilled on Saturday. I use Saturday as like my Sunday. And then, you know, Sunday, you know, just regular greenhouse stuff, you know, working on a lot, you know, websites live.
Working on the weekends like usual.
Yeah, you feel me? So it was a good week. Good week.
And he repeats, the website is live. Yeah, man. Go check it out. There's got merch up there as well.
Merch.
Show some love.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Of course. But we're going to get into the show.
Oh,
so
I missed y'all, by the way. I missed y'all last week. When I was under the weather, I was like, it was Wednesday. I was like, I'm supposed to be doing something right now.
So what did you end up doing? Just, you know, had some soup.
Went back to sleep. Took a good nap. Mm.
Right. Sleep is the best.
Yeah. They have the Sudafed now, where it's like daytime, nighttime. Game changer.
Mm. Or Sudafeds. No?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bar.
What did you think about? Did you get a chance to listen to any music that came out this past weekend? Anything that surprised you? Were you underwhelmed by anything?
So, you told me about the, you know, you texted me a free Uzi. So I was like, Uzi has something tape. That came out. I didn't even know that came out or something. So I was like, let me turn this on. Turned it on. It was cool. That's something I got to maybe re-listen to again. Again, I was like in a car driving somewhere when I played it. It's the same like Uzi Flow, which I love. I wasn't really into some of the beats that I was listening to, so I definitely want to kind of, you know, go back and get a re-listen. But nothing again from my first listen kind of like stood out yet. So gotta bump it a second time to see, you know, my thought process on that. But
I thought it was great. I gave it another listen when I was in the gym yesterday morning. Great pump up music for like the first few tracks. I felt like You know, he came through with a great flow. Had a few bars in there. The beat was very high energy. The tracks in the middle are more sort of slowed down and melodic. That's when he gets into his kind of, you know, Uzi's kind of got like some emo type vibe sometimes in terms of his music. So I would say those are kind of the middle tracks. And then towards the end, he gets, I think he's got some of them on there that are probably going to be like more single-ish. Like I think Venetia is one of the songs on there. I think it's probably going to be a standout. The one I like is called Homecoming. It's probably my favorite on there. Lo Maine is a good one on there as well. But give it a chance. It's like 18 songs long, I think. But solid project by him. And then also the ladies, they represented Megan Thee Stallion. Meg Thee Stallion, pardon me. Meg Thee Stallion. She came out with Suga, S-U-G-A. Did you get a chance to listen to any of those? I think the main one I heard was Savage.
Heard a song, Captain Hook.
Okay, Captain Hook. I think she's trying to... Oh, all right, so
okay.
She's doing this Captain Hook challenge for it.
Okay.
Did you see that on her timeline? Okay, so maybe I only saw this because I got a girl, so she sent it to me, right? So, but she tried to do this dance challenge to it, to that Captain Hook song, right? And it just seemed so inorganic. It seemed like it was trying too hard. And with Meg, I never felt like she was trying too hard before. But now I feel like, even with the, you know, the timing of this dropping, right, with all of the controversy mm-hmm. around her contract, mm-hmm. Some people were saying the controversy around the contract was a rollout for her project that she's about to put out, you know, drumming up all of this publicity and then dropping a project. And then her, when with this inorganic dance challenge, it seemed like you're trying to really trying too hard, and that's a little bit off-putting for me personally. Okay. But what do you think about people like trying to get a viral moment by like creating dance challenges? Like
if it's organic, then cool. Like, you know, like the Renegade, you know, that was something that was organic where a kid just made a routine to it, mm-hmm. and since it was so catchy with the song, it right. went viral and helped the song out.
Right.
You know, like the Shiggy challenge, you know, he was just doing it out of his own, off of his strength, right. and it made the song good. If you, if the person is making the challenge itself.
I don't think it ever works. Yeah. I haven't seen one work yet where the person, the artist themselves, like, was like, oh, do this type of dance challenge and tag me in it and blah, blah, blah. Like, Fab tried to do it, I think, with the, what was the name of that song? Choosy challenge,
yeah,
so inorganic. But like you said, with the other ones, like
so let me, in my feelings, challenge,
yeah, in my feelings, like Renegade. It just it goes viral because people don't feel it like it's contrived.
So
yeah.
So let me ask you, would you consider what like Soulja Boy did with the Soulja Boy dance organic? Because technically he did a song,
was it?
But that I would say that was organic, and I'll say that because he was just really having fun with it, and it wasn't viral. Like, right, it went, he was like really the first one to go viral off of like a dance challenge-ish right. thing right. like that.
Okay.
But that was like, he was a dancing kid, like he was having fun with it, like with the Meg stuff and with the Choosy challenge and stuff. It seems like people that wouldn't necessarily do this, but because they've seen the success of viral challenges in the past, they tried it to make it work.
Okay.
But that's not their flow.
So then, I mean, but back in the day, it was the viral era where, in a way, it was kind of just natural because I'm thinking of, you know, the Cat Daddy, you know, the Dougie, you know, the Harlem Shake, right. you know.
See, you can't go from the Cat Daddy to, you know.
I'm just thinking, you're a jerk, you know, all yeah, them dances, sure. they, it was
they,
songs
they,
with
they,
it.
They was dancers, with it. Though. Fab not a dancer, so okay. don't do no Choosy challenge.
Yeah, okay. I think that's what it is.
Like,
well, that's
Meg,
why he wasn't doing
Meg,
it.
Meg, she twerks and stuff like that, but this dance isn't like about twerk. Like when Meg had the she had a song on the Tina Snow project that was like all these girls getting out at a gas station and start twerking or something like that. Meg's known for twerking, so it seems organic coming from Meg. I would never fault her for that, but creating up some, you know, dance challenge, it seems like.
So you're saying that she just make a twerk
It's a bit
challenge?
Of a reach.
Is that what you're trying to say? Or refer
I'm
to
saying it? Do something that's organic to you. That's all.
Yeah, there you go. So it doesn't seem like you're trying too hard. So like Fab, twerking. Just give us the Fab bars.
Even the, what was that Justin Bieber thing? She did. That video seemed like she was trying hard. Well, now it seems like Meg's reaching for stuff a little bit more than she was in the past, and it's a little bit off-putting. That's all
I'm saying.
So
the
Yummy Challenge. There you go.
So now, y'all, you know, you said that you think that, people are saying it was a publicity stunt. Do you think it was a publicity stunt?
I don't think it was a publicity stunt, the contract stuff, but I think because there was so much buzz around her contract talks and things like that, she was like, y'all should capitalize on this and take advantage of the odds that are on you right now and put the project out. That's what I'll say. I don't think it was premeditated, like, I'm going to get on IG Live and talk about my contract, and then I'm going to drop an album or an EP a couple weeks later. I don't think it was that, but I think after that happened, she got a lot of buzz. People got in her ears, like, you need to drop strike while the iron's hot, basically.
Do you think she was successful at that?
I don't know. I haven't seen the numbers. Okay. And also, I don't think I'm her demographic. So
what's her demographic?
Young, educated, women who are looking to have fun and have a good time and hear lyrics.
Is that a small demographic or?
I wouldn't say it's small. I just said it's not my demographic. Oh, right.
So all right. No. I don't think it's a hot take, but kind of a hot take. I don't think all women support like women like rappers
as okay,
like
as break more, it down. You know? Okay, break it down.
So I think the only woman rapper artist that really got that love to that high degree was Nicki Minaj. You know?
Okay.
And what she did was she also was kind of a crossover where men messed with her music as well and right. knew her lyrics.
Right.
She was the one where, you know, it's you know, we all
if
we
you
all,
see an itty bitty piggy in the mug.
Yeah, we knew the word, right? You know, and I'm a monster. You know, so those are the songs where we hit on, and then
sing it again. How'd it go?
That's how she puts her voice on. Okay. You know, her split personality.
Got you. I think okay. Roman was yeah, her other. Yes, yeah. Okay, got you, got you.
You go know, on. And I think the closest we maybe seen to that sense was maybe like a Cardi B.
Right.
Like Rhapsody, she can spit.
She's fire.
I don't see like dudes really like they give her credit.
No, I think dudes give Rhapsody more than women.
Excuse me. So that's where I think is. Yeah. So that's a split there. But then like other women that are come out like if you're not like a city girl. So you're saying
most women
of,
get one or the other.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And one and then even amongst themselves they get a split. So like example, city girls.
Right.
Party music turned up, you can twerk to it, have a good time, but you're not going to get the people that like lyrics, you know, in a way, going to listen to that. You get the girls that, you know, fly me out.
Right.
Again, I'm stereotyping. Or the people or people that like to have those party music, excuse
sure,
me.
Sure.
Let me say that better. You know, and then people that like to listen to lyrics, you know, I don't really hear that many women now because the genre of women rapping, fuck with it. I think if you're a great lyricist as a woman artist, men appreciate that more.
No doubt.
And rock with it.
No doubt.
You know, because I'm not saying, but I think most women don't want to hear. They want to hear that, you know, fly me out. I'm going to scam you.
I don't want to generalize, but I see where you're going with it.
Okay.
I see where you're going with it.
Not all women. Not all women, by the way.
Please clarify.
Preference. Let me clarify that with that.
Attacked by any hives.
But I do see, you know, when you hear music, when I'm in a car with, like, you and the music that we all throw on, versus when I'm in a car with women, I see a lot more women go to R&B.
Right.
You
no
know,
doubt.
Going to they support Snow Allegra, Summer Walkers, you know, that aspect. But when it comes to, like, female artists, like, rapping,
mm-hmm.
I don't hear people put on, like a Remy new project, you know.
No.
I don't know if she has one out, but I'm just saying it's just whatever.
I could dig it.
So, well, yeah, good so luck to Meg. Hopefully her numbers do well.
Yeah, did you hear the Janae Aiko album?
No,
didn't have the time. Yeah.
I mean, it's not my
certain,
type of...
Certain demographics is...
Right. She did some features with, you know, rappers, and sure, I like her on features of songs, but I'm cool.
I can dig it. Well, what do we have to discuss today? What's top of mind?
So, coronavirus... It looks like now it's still spreading. It's still making national news. I think the big thing right now is the uncertainty and how to cure it or how to combat it right now.
Right.
So a lot of organizations and people or companies are taking precautions and trying to get in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing right now is the NBA and the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
Right now,
even bigger than that, the Olympics, maybe, because that's going to be big money loss. Yeah. But most close proximity, yes, those are the options. So I didn't mean to cut
you off. No, that's fine. You added to it. Perfect. I know the first thing that was alerted was San Francisco had put a ban on gatherings of more than 1,000 people, which means, you know, all these sporting events are going to be played without fans. They are reimbursing people for the tickets, which is great, because I was going to say that's whilst they did it.
Where?
Also, then the next news was Ohio, but then they followed up and said, hey, the NCAA tournament, that first four games that we host, without fans. And then it's kind of just kept trickling new alerts, updates, and the latest one is the NCAA tournament as a whole will be played without fans. Only like immediate family members, staff, personnel will be able to go.
Yeah, but even like the schooling with this is crazy too. Like I know college is strictly online. So we're going strictly online.
A lot of student activity. Home.
Yep.
Yeah. People are on their spring break. Yep. I think
my cousin who goes to Pitt is on spring break. Just got a text from me said. He don't have to go back to school for the rest of the semester.
Wow.
So. Ryder said, yo, y'all good till the end of the month.
Oh, they came out with an announcement for Ryder now?
Good to the 27th, like 27th last year.
Because usually, Ryder usually be last on things, for real. Man. They be like, they wait, what TCNJ doing?
I ain't going to hold you,
what
though.
What Rowan doing?
Ryder did have some snow days. We did have some snow days
but we was last to make that announcement.
That's true.
Announcement, everybody else.
You know how they was doing.
I agree.
Yo, we was waiting, like, what team, what they doing?
TCJ got school?
Y'all got school.
Yeah, we
school,
got school.
That's a fact.
But I'm glad people are being proactive about it.
No doubt.
Hopefully the teachers and everybody can still are still getting paid in these times where they're shutting down jobs. Hopefully kids can get reimbursed for room and board.
So that's a thing you touched on, a point that might be like touchy, right? So for instance, people that work an hourly wage, that don't necessarily have like certain benefits and things like that, like paid like PTO or, or time where they're able to take off, if they're the shop that they're working at is saying go home, you can't work, but it's an hourly job, how do you basically live?
I think you get paid for those days.
Even if they send you home?
Yeah.
Okay. I would hope these organizations are stepping up and giving people paid leave.
Even for us, I mean, unless they don't allow us to still work, but.
But I'm saying, like, let's say you work at McDonald's or something like that.
What's the difference between working at McDonald's and working for what we do? We get paid hourly.
I don't think, if you don't come to work, you don't get paid, no? Or maybe I'm ignorant, I don't know.
No, but that's, or but for us though, like example, with the last snowstorm. When it was a state of emergency where you couldn't go out and work,
right?
Before that was if you couldn't make it to work, you had to use a personal day or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it was a state of emergency and they closed down the roads and stuff,
mm-hmm.
we got paid. I don't know if it's the same
for a big organization like ours.
McDonald's
and
also, a big organization.
No, sure, but the level in terms of like, I guess we still would work hourly and things like that. But I don't know if it's a. I wouldn't say it's like a salary job, but I don't know. I would have to dig into it to see if they're paid. I hope that they are, but I would think that would be an issue if people are not going to be able to be paid, or if they're getting paid in cash or mom and pop shops are closing down and things like that, and they're not on like payroll like that. You get paid, you know,
for people that work strictly for tips, you know, and those are tough, and I don't think there is a solution for that, unless somehow that company can afford to take out maybe some type of loan, or they have the money already or the savings to still pay these workers.
Yeah, I think that's a difficult situation, and I wonder what those people might be forced to do in terms of those things. Because if you got to choose between, you know, potentially contracting the virus at work or not eating, I think people are going to go to work. But interesting. We'll dig into that a little bit more. Maybe I'll do some research and come back with an update next. But go ahead.
Yeah. So NCAA tournament will be playing without fans. Interesting. I think that's going to be the first time probably in forever in history of NCAA tournament.
I'm ready for it because it's going to look like pickup games, and that's going to be super fire. It's going to look like pickup games. Like
you rather it look like pickup games than...
Pickup games in the arenas. That's all they are at this point.
You don't think it's more fire when you hit that big three and the fans are all like, you know, yeah.
But you got to look at it like the upside. Like, I got to look at this like it's just pickup game. It's like pickup games with the homies back home. Like,
yeah, so that's something. It sounds like it's going to be real lax, though. You don't think... Okay.
I don't know. I think because your coach is there, I think it's pickup. Like, I think it's going to be like intense pickup. Like, all right, so... Man, all right, so intramurals. Okay. Let's go back to that. Intramural championships, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Were y'all playing lax or were y'all playing more?
No, we going to still turn up. I mean, okay.
So you're going to find teams like
that.
All right,
but at the same time, though, also we had some fans. We brought a fan base, right, too.
That's so now a couple fam, but certain family members can be there now is what they stretched the rule out to,
it's
right?
It's a little bit different, though. I think it's
you have to look at the upside of it. Like, it can't be a negative. Yeah, it sucks that the fans aren't there, but at the same token, like I know ball players are probably like, all right, well, I just got to look at this like it's pickup game.
Yeah, they're going to bowl regardless.
Sure.
Yeah. They're going to bowl regardless. You know, and hopefully, you know, depending on the situation now, those, you know, you watch at home, the viewership, this might be the biggest viewership because everybody's going to have to watch it on TV.
No doubt.
Versus now being in the stadium.
Hey.
So that should be interesting, that aspect.
Great point. Also, I mean, to be honest, the product this year wasn't that good, so the fans aren't they ain't missing out on
it.
But
that's even worse now. Think about it. If the product ain't that good, and we ain't in there.
Subpar season.
Are we turning to watch it?
Oh, yeah. Probably not. I certainly will not be watching that first weekend. I'm cool. I got better things to do.
I mean, the Greenhouse is doing a March Madness bracket.
Okay.
So, like, I got to make sure we still do that. So,
oh, yeah,
like,
no doubt. Of course.
So I have to watch all the games, make sure nobody puts in extra entries or anything like that.
Is Rutgers in there this year?
They might.
Right now,
they might punch a ticket.
Right. Well,
they might get an at-large bid, though, right?
But we don't know yet, right? They have their Big Ten tournament coming up or playing now.
Mm-hmm.
They still would have to, I think, win one or two more games in this tournament. Mm-hmm. If they lose in their first round or second round. Could potentially put a hurt on their record as well when they review the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So Dwight's gonna watch that first weekend too. So
look, I'm not making a bracket.
I ain't doing nothing.
Or Ryder, I need Ryder to, you know, get a little win the conference.
All right, well.
We play tomorrow.
So yo, it's dope. The Ivy League said, yo, we're not even doing a tournament.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to touch on it. Let's ask.
Y'all want to touch on this now? Or y'all want to touch on this back in sports?
No, we're gonna touch right now. So the Ivy League is not doing a tournament.
They just won't give it to the regular season.
And whoever won the regular season has got their automatic bid into the tournament.
Right.
Okay.
Thoughts?
It was a quick reaction.
I think it's very reactionary, no doubt.
So, but
I think what they do with the Ivy League, I feel like this is them kind of being like, oh, we're so much smarter than everybody. We're going to do away with our conference tournament and just
you got to save the smart guys.
Right, because I think they were trying to protect their brand and their image as being so forward-thinking and intellectual, and we care about the students and this, that, and the third, and we're not going to play our conference tournament because this coronavirus thing is serious. We have our students here who are studying at the highest level, and I think it's really all just it's a show. It's an act. But I think it was not very well considered, obviously a lot of people are trying to, you know, do the best they can with this, but I think they should have maybe did like something like everybody else is doing, just have no fans, limit the participation, limit it to just family and the players, and, you know, go from there.
But I don't think it was well thought out. Like, they're just assuming right now, all right, the best team that's in, you know, the women's and the men's side. All right, y'all should get the automatic bid. You know, because in these tournaments, this is the time you start seeing.
Sure. Teams round into shape.
Right. That 6-seed going a little run, the underdog team win. And it also is going to give practicing for even the team that makes it to the tournament.
Right.
You know, because these schools, the smaller, like D1 schools, if they don't get that much preparation and go through a battle within their conference, they gonna go to that the round of 64 and get smoked.
68.
Yeah, they had a score at first four. They gonna get smoked. Mm-hmm. So that was very reactionary. And on Harvard, I don't know why they put on the facade Princeton that they care about their students. I just saw a report that a lot of their students of the international population, as well as kids that may be from low income homes,
they sent them back home.
They telling them, y'all got 5 days to get out. It was like, what if our country
is
quarantined, you can't fly back into it.
It was like, sorry.
Right, or like, what if you don't have, they was like, some of them may not even have the funds and stuff to plan their trip now right back over to whatever they have to fly to.
Terrible.
So hopefully Princeton looks back into that and hopefully make sure that all these kids are getting back home safely. That usually stay spring break, don't go back home.
See, Marshawn would have took care of them.
Oh, that's a fact.
Marshawn.
They did Marshawn.
Let Marshawn speak. You might have taken care of y'all, man.
Yeah. take care of your chicken.
Yeah, and your betsos, you feel me?
So we'll see how that turns out. I'm still gonna watch the NCAA. You know, hopefully it doesn't affect people who bet on the games.
Let me know if you want
to. Yeah, I heard that's gonna be a big factor.
Bracket challenge, you feel me?
Okay.
The crowd participation, you know, the home field advantage, you know, type of deal is kind of gone now. So how does that work from like a line standpoint?
Do you think we're gonna get to the point? I know Italy, they did a maybe the country shutdown in a way.
Yeah.
Where now. Work is suspended, traveling is suspended, sports games are going to be played without fans. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's going to be open is like the grocery store and like one other thing, like the hospitals maybe, I think, or something. I'm not too sure. It's also the second one, but they are taking the most precautions. What I like about it is, though, your rent, mortgages, you don't have to pay it. They said the banks were agreeing with it that everything is on a freeze right now. So it sounds like I don't think no one is getting paid maybe.
Right.
But you don't have to pay anything other than like basic necessity.
Yeah. They probably get paid a minimum.
It's the same.
Yeah, like imagine your salary and then you can't work for the next month and then they just cut off all your funds. Like you can file for unemployment, but who pays for unemployment? The government, which is shut down. So it's like,
yeah.
But yeah, man.
Do you think we'll ever get to the point where in the United States we do that?
Nah.
I hope not. Yeah, who's to say, really? I mean, we got an interesting regime in there right now.
I hope we kind of do. Where if we get to a point where we don't have to work, I don't got to pay my rent.
Yeah, that's a conversation with you I have to have off mic, and it's really going to blow you away because then you got to really have to think about something.
Okay.
So I agree with you there.
All right. Now, last thing on this topic, do you think any of this is like tied to any conspiracy theory?
No. I hate the people that's like, this is the election. Like...
So I was hearing a couple of things, election. I was hearing population control.
Oh gosh.
Survival of the fittest type of thing. You know, it's
they tried to make Bush look like an all-star during the recession. They tried to say how that was a conspiracy as well. Oh, the way Bush handled that recession. I'm like, come on, man. You think he did that on purpose? Like,
yeah, I've never been one for conspiracy theories really.
Anything?
Only the funny ones, like how Tupac died, how Tupac's body wasn't real.
But like, are you serious about it? Or are you like, or just it's funny to you though?
That's like, it's interesting to see how if these facts are real. Like, if once you fact check them, is what I mean. But like, other than that, like, nah, I'm good off all the other conspiracy theories.
Cause like, there's one where 9/11. They have a big conspiracy theory behind
that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, so many.
And it was like,
I don't even want to propagate that on this podcast.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. I want to say all that.
So do you think this is a conspiracy?
No. I think it's something that is really happening in America and across the world. I just think maybe certain aspects of it, they are blowing out of control to help benefit in certain ways. So I think it's more of like a coincidence, and then I was like, oh, but we can spin it and do it a certain way, like what Kyle said about like Meg's contract, right?
Right.
That's real, but let's now use that and fuel it to something that we can change the narrative on. That's right. All.
Yeah, I think it's really from what I was hearing and reading. It was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a disease or a virus that jumped from animals to humans. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but there was a movie called Contagion that came out maybe like a decade ago. But it was a similar type of deal where like everything, it was very like pertinent in, you know, where certain big companies or organizations that were, you know, farming or what have you. Deforestation was causing basically these animals to flee their natural environments, and then basically the diseases that they have are sort of jumping to humans, and we don't really have anything to sort of combat it or deal with it. But I don't believe that it was like some type of weaponized virus or anything that just got out of lab. I guess it's always possible. But you know, I'd rather try and, you know, stick to, you know, facts. But
yes.
But yeah, on that note, we could take a quick break and we'll be right back with our main segment. And we are back with the Yuppie Noir podcast. We are about to jump into our main segment. In our main segment, we normally talk about things that sort of revolve around the workplace. This thing, it just hit me today because when you're in a leadership type of position, you take on a lot, but then you have to know when to say when or when to start to delegate, which is the main topic today, delegating. You know, you get so much put on you from a management standpoint. You have the wants and needs of your superiors coming down on you. And then you also, the people that are your subordinates, they also have wants and needs as well. So it's kind of a twofold type of deal. And at some point, you know, once you meet certain or once you have certain deadlines placed upon you and certain expectations, you have to be able to delegate properly so that everything gets done. If you try and take on too much or get inundated with too much work, some things are going to fall off the table. Some things are going to fall by the wayside. And ultimately, the work won't get done to the highest quality that it could possibly be at. So I just kind of wanted to have this time to, you know, say, you know, when do you notice that you have to delegate? Who do you delegate to? And maybe what type of tasks do you delegate? Dwizzy, any thoughts?
Yeah. So right now, being very new to management, I came into it with the, hey, anything I can take, get my hands on to do it, you know, volunteer for everything, put myself out there and, you know, put in the extra time and just to make sure things get done. Which is all fine and dandy at first, but then you get to the point where your plate is all filled up now, right? You get to a point where it's like you still got your regular day-to-day function that you have to take care of and handle and manage over. And at the same time, you still have all those extra stuff that, you know, certain requests, incident that may have happened that you have to just work on, improvise on the fly.
Right.
And then when you get to that point now, it's like, all right, when you still think you can handle all that stuff, before you know it, 6:37, things had deadlines, you potentially missed it or came late on them, and it gets to a point where management could be looking at you like, yo, what's up? Like, right. Yo, you need to learn how to prioritize. You know, these are what's important. These can get pushed off to the side. So now I'm getting to a point now where it's like, okay, this is what I can do now. You know, I'm learning how to prioritize what's most important, what can wait. Okay, I can do this at the end of the day. All right, I can do this later. I can do this tomorrow. And then I'm also now learning, oh, instead of still having me do everything, even though I'm, you know, prioritizing, what can I lean on somebody else, a coworker, a colleague, a subordinate of mine? What can I utilize the assets to my team at this point to help me get certain things done? So I have about a couple, like two or three people that I formed a bond with that I know I can delegate work to, that are hardworking, still handle their own business workload and take on a couple extra projects. So you do have to identify that when it comes to their stats, their one-on-ones, having regular conversations where they want to take on more things and are eager to learn more. Those are the people that I look on to the most and put those tasks upon them, because they remind me in a way of how my work ethic were, you know, how they want to do more. They know, learning about the multitasking, and this is putting themselves in better positions as well later on to move to the next job as well. So that's what I look to forward in. I'm still a person that likes to take more a lot of responsibility when I know I can. Right. It pushes myself. I like to be busy. That was an issue before where I didn't have as much work. So when I finished it, it looks like I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So if I can get to a point now where, okay, what can I do next? Let me find this to do. Okay, let me do this. I love that because it makes my day go a lot faster.
Absolutely.
But then there's still things where I still need to rely on the strength of a team to help with as well. So
I totally agree. All great points. I will say you talked about you know, certain things that come onto your plate that are kind of spontaneous or out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I find that when you have those escalations that arise during the day, and it's, you know, a very high net worth client that is, you know, escalated up to your boss's boss, and then they trickle it down to you and say, hey, handle this. Right. You know, that's something that, you know, might take precedence or priority. Once those things are on your plate for the day, this task that you might have been working on earlier in the day or you started yesterday, you know, that's might be like a set thing where it needs to get done eventually, but today doesn't necessarily have to be that day, right? So definitely the prioritization is super important, like you spoke about. And then just delegating to finding those people, those up-and-coming stars in your organization, those people that you can rely on or people that you, you know, have identified as having room for growth, or, you know, are always raising their hands for volunteer work. Their metrics are good. Those are people that you can look to. And that also helps you because it helps you sort of mold the people that are under you, right? Somebody told me that once that if your boss is not successful and the people underneath you are not successful and your peers aren't successful, then you're not successful. And so as a manager and a leader, you want to be always looking to make the people around you a success and striving to, because ultimately if they're successful, if you're able to play a part in that, that's going to shine bright on you, and people are going to see that and want to work with you and hire you for other positions. So that's also, this delegation thing. Some people might see it as, you kind of just shifting work off on the people, which I don't think it necessarily is. But I think it's more so a tool to give somebody a shot and to prove themselves and to be able to mold them. And even when you're delegating down to somebody, giving them a certain task, if they're not doing it the right way, it's also a good way that you might be able to coach people into, yeah, doing things in a bit of a different way and kind of steer their career a little bit. So that's some of the things that, thoughts and things that I had. AJ, you said this was something that's going on in your life where you had a...
Similar to my job. The whole delegation thing, so me being in the accounting department, I'm very young and I have to manage a group of people and give them a budget and make sure they have to stick to it, so that kind of in that kind of ordeal, is very, very is where I can relate in a sense, where you're picking this up for the main topic. So I tell you guys all the time, you guys are great with this, Main topics always involved with I'm going through in life. So I'm like, oh wow, all right. So that one definitely hit home today. So I was really able to relate to that.
And make things more efficient, right?
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do. Try to express that every day. Hey, I'm trying to help.
Right.
The minute y'all don't need my help, send me home. That's what I tell them.
Yeah.
No, and that's what we're trying to do with this podcast, is touch on things that are impacting young urban professionals on a day-to-day. So on that note, this has been a great discussion. Thank you, Dwizzy. Thank you, AJ. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the water cooler.
And we are back with the water cooler segment. This is the segment where we talk sports. This is where you can be at the, in the break room. Hey, did you see that game last night, Bill? Oh man, you see the coronavirus just broke out. Then no fans are going to be at the stadiums. What's your thoughts on that? So stuff like that, we could chop it up. It's really been, other than, with the breaking news of how certain games are going to be played without fans, it's been a slow news week when it comes to sports. The main highlight was LeBron went on a nice little tear.
Getting busy. Yeah. Giannis, skedaddle, right. Kawhi, beat it. Scram! Oh, you about to talk about the Nets?
LeVert,
I knew you was about to say that.
Put that crown on him.
Don't ever crown that man. How dare you?
Now, but I will say so.
The only crown he deserves are in his teeth.
Oh wow!
Ooh,
But during the Bucks Lakers game, Giannis at one point, the Bucks were up 8+ points. He puts his own self crown on himself. This is Mosh right here.
A real king doesn't crown himself.
Yes,
other people crown him.
That's a good. Trying to think, because don't kings get passed down through, center? They self-proclaim it when they take over a kingdom.
But a king is a taker, a conqueror.
Okay, right.
You know what I mean? That's the prince that gets the crown bestowed upon him. Okay. That's why they say the king earns the crown.
But whatever. And he also, LeBron was playing some great defense the next game against the Clippers.
Yes, sir. Clamps, lock up.
He made sure to guard Kawhi on key possessions. He made sure not to feed into Patrick Beverley, who was doing a lot of little antic stuff. No. Even though I like it, a little gritty, but at the same
time.
It's
not gritty when you score 2 points and have no assists. You're our starting point guard.
He's a defender.
You're our starting point guard.
He's a defender.
You're a starting point guard in the NBA. Why do you have 2 points?
Because he gives more
minutes. Make it make sense.
Lou Will gets a lot of his points.
So then who the fuck was he guarding? Excuse my French. Pardon me. I was getting a little amped. Who was he guarding?
He was trying to guard LeBron on plays.
All right.
It didn't work as much.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
He was just trying to be a gnat. He's annoying. And I think LeBron, I'm glad that he's learned from the ordeals with Lance Stevenson. He's learned from getting into it with Draymond. Pat Bev, that's a fly. We swat those away, man. We swat those away.
They were showing the footage of LeBron did not look at him once. When he got into little altercations, he made sure to walk the other way, kind of give him a little bump. But he didn't look at him one time. So I don't know if Patrick Beverly's that ex-girl that wants that attention and is trying to do anything to get it.
Okay.
And he's like, nah, I moved on.
I see where you're going with this.
You know, I'm good now. Love, enjoy.
Okay.
Other sports, how the Sixers doing?
Horrible.
Yeah.
So Ben Simmons is going to be out for 3 weeks. So how at least they said. Joel Embiid is going to be back soon, though. I think this next game. Today's Wednesday, right? He's playing in it.
So how did Elton Brand become the general manager?
He's just the face, honestly. He's the face of, you know how you have to get in somebody that's recognizable in that particular position. We were still without a GM after our previous GM was getting had his Twitter fingers go awry talking about Ben Simmons. So we just had to replace him with somebody. I really want I want us to fire Brett Brown and hire Atkinson. I think Atkinson would be a great hire for the Sixers and be able to take us
on the market.
Yeah, he's very.
I can't believe they got rid of my man.
Yeah,
can I do that?
Ken Atkinson was the former coach of the new
the Nets. Yeah. I like the way he coached. He's solid.
But apparently, it's been released that like it was some inner coaching where how they wanted to play versus to choose how he chooses the coach. I think some speculation with Kyrie and them getting get along. Yeah. But these are all really rumor reports. Nothing really confirmed as of right now.
Okay.
But the Nets looked like they was about to turn it around. But
It was not. It was never. This season was never going to be the season that they turned it around. I think everybody's waiting for next season anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Kyrie playing in the beginning of the season, they were never going to make any type of playoff push. So, ultimately they're waiting for to get those big stars back, right? So we'll see.
Yeah, the Heat, we've been doing all right, not crazy or nothing. We went on a 2-game win streak, then we lost to the Pelicans, really good game, and then we came back and beat the Wizards by, I think, like 11 or 21 or something like that, not crazy. No, 11 points, excuse me. And then now we're playing the Hornets as we speak. I think we're up like 17, excuse me, now just updated. I'm playing well. I'm still a little skeptical about what they're going to do in the playoffs. A lot of guys got to prove themselves. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from the bench, our starters, our team as a whole, the coaching. But we're going to see when the benches get a little smaller, when games, you're playing after only one game rest or maybe two, in between every night on the biggest stage and every game matters. We'll see how our team, rise to the occasion. We do have two guys that were undrafted rookies on the team. One's a second year player now, but he was undrafted, Duncan Robinson. We got Kendrick Nunn, that's a rookie starter that was undrafted. Tyler Hero, rookie, that's playing well. So we have a lot of guys that, really have been here before. So Iggy's on the team as a vet. That's why we got Jay Crowder. Miles Leonard is another vet that played for Portland. And we have guys like Kelly Olynyk, Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, guys that have been scrappers to like Eastern Conference Finals and scrappers that played in different big games. But again, these are going to be the time where these are main guys that are all getting put together now. Before they was like the second or third piece, this is going to be their main, focus to get our team to the over that hump. So, bam, this is going to be interesting. We'll see what's going to happen. I'm excited. But we still have like another month. Giannis is out right now, but look, good thing he had a sprained knee, the MRIs. He just thought that he tweaked it.
That's good. Do you think LeBron can catch Giannis in the MVP?
Yeah, he got it.
Giannis. I think Giannis is going to win it.
You think Giannis is going to win it still?
I think Giannis is going to win it. Because now we're showing the disparity where Giannis hasn't been playing the last two games and the Bucks been getting blown out or just losing.
That's good. But so, let's say Giannis isn't able to play for a little while, right?
That helps and with his then, numbers.
But, right, but right. Also, let's say the Lakers are able to catch them in terms of their record. The Lakers, wouldn't that be a more impressive feat by LeBron, him dragging a team that was out of the playoffs to – now, I know you're going to say Anthony Davis, but dragging them to the best record in the NBA over a Giannis-led team, and then Giannis missing more games than LeBron in his 17th season, where LeBron is playing, 30-some minutes a night and doing all of this. And Giannis – we always talk about, for instance, with the Ja Morant and Zion thing, Zion not having played enough games. If Giannis plays less games than LeBron, and LeBron has a greater impact, and his team is the most winningest team in the league.
Would you, if you take LeBron off the Lakers, are they still a successful team with Davis?
Not to this way. They would start losing too.
Because right now, Giannis is a bigger impact, and statistically, other than rebounding, assist, Giannis is actually better than LeBron in. You know, as far as steals, blocks, rebounds, and even scoring, is all check marks for Giannis. So, I don't know how, and record as of right now, right? So, I don't know how.
I'm saying in the hypothetical that they're able to catch them, if the Bucks keep losing Giannis,
but,
then.
But he's losing because he's not playing.
I think you have to. It goes by person to person.
It's going to be narrative too. Yeah. I think you make the case for both sides.
Also, it's probably going to be LeBron's last MVP type season.
So don't mean we got to give it to him.
He's playing, huh?
Don't mean we guys got to give it to him.
Sure, but some people might say, oh, Giannis is going to win a lot more in his career going forward. He just won one last year.
We got to give him their flowers while they can.
Sure. Right. Yeah, I mean, like you said, we just talked about it being a narrative award. I think that narrative might be able to prevail.
And them young, they going out and getting it now. That's it.
I ain't going out getting nothing. What happened on Friday or Saturday or whatever? Okay. So he ain't getting nothing. He got this L. That's all he got. He went out and got this L. But anyway.
Well, we'll see. Can we talk about
Liverpool FC? Yep. As of now, recording this, they just lost to Atletico Madrid and just got bounced from the UEFA Champions League. But that's neither here nor there, because they're probably going to win the English Premier League. They need 3 more points. And then Manchester City just played Manchester United, and Manchester United won. So Man City was their closest opponent, so they don't get any points for that loss, whereas Liverpool won their matchup over the weekend. So it'll be the first time in like 50-plus years that they've won the English Premier League, so I know they're pretty stoked about that. So Liverpool is just really on a tear right now. They won the Champions League last year, so no hard feelings about that. And then if they could win the English Premier League again this year, or win it this year for the first time in however many decades, that would be a pretty good feat. So shouts to Mo Salah, shouts to Mario Sane, shouts to Virgil van Dijk. Everybody, the team is loaded, a lot of studs, so shouts to them.
Did you also hear, and speaking of football.
And LeBron is a part owner in Liverpool, LeBron winning on and off the field.
Absolutely. Speaking of football, did you hear about Juventus player that got the confirmed coronavirus?
No, I didn't hear about that. I know they were playing in those.
Italian international defender Daniele Rugani.
Okay.
Has tested positive for the coronavirus for Juventus.
Cristiano, get back to La Liga. Yeah. Get back to La Liga.
So, hopefully he doesn't have it.
No, he got it. He got it.
So, we'll see what happens from there. Any other sports news? Anything we want to touch on? Oh, Sierra Canyon is about to play in the state championship game.
Do you know who their opponent is yet?
I do. I just closed it out, but it's a team that's from, I think some, a Sacramento team, or it's a win of a Sacramento team and a team that's playing in like some other part of California.
Congrats, Bronny, on your first state championship, King. No, too early.
He ain't win it.
He there? He a part of it?
Congrats, Zaire Wade.
Sure.
On his state championship. Sure.
Congrats to all of them.
Okay.
Young Kings.
D Wade, please show up to the game for your kid. Support him even if he's not playing. Come on, don't be that guy.
He's that angry sports dad. You know? Yeah. We all know him.
Yeah.
But this has been another episode of the Yuppie Noir podcast. I appreciate you, gentlemen, and we are signing off.
Sixers.